Guys, this is episode one of the Front to Back podcast.
Incorrect.
Wait, what's
are we seriously doing with that name? Is that the name we're going with?
What's
I'm really glad that you read. You know, he's really in tune with what's happening right now.
Did we decide we were going to name something else? What are we going to name?
Yeah, Luke Cave.
What the? Luke Cave
podcast. It's kind of boring. I kind of prefer the front to back now.
Yeah, dude.
Oh my gosh.
How am I ever supposed to explain to people that I'm on a podcast called Front to Back?
Well, they don't. They won't know. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they're gonna ask. What do I say? Do I? Yeah, it's.
You just say
we like to be thorough about the stuff we front to back. We read the paper.
Yes.
You just say like
easy.
Yeah, you get all the details in between. You cover efficient subject front to back. You know,
yes. Right.
Not there beginning to end, front to back.
There we go.
All right. Well, whatever we're gonna call this thing, we'll figure it out at some point. I personally think Luke Cave is a little too tame, and just anyone could have come up with that name. No one else out there is going to say front to back.
I don't disagree with you, but you did get the list of the names, by the way. You did.
I don't remember seeing this.
Mm-hmm.
This list.
Okay, well, it can be called whatever you want.
That's crazy. It is not dark in her room anymore.
It's never been dark. My camera was just fucked up.
Gotcha. Hey,
you got that fixed? Was it the settings?
Yeah, it was, Luke.
All right,
as usual.
All right. Well, we're going to start things off today with, I guess, Destiny news. Guys, how are we feeling this week? We just came off the debate last week. Liv somehow won, which still blows my mind.
Okay, let's be nice.
But
we moved on. We're adults.
But regardless, we're finishing up the second week of Solstice. And so I think everyone's kind of getting over their tier 5 for the first time highs. How are we feeling going into this? Because we still got how many weeks left till Ash and I are? Three?
3 weeks.
Three.
Okay.
Only three, huh?
Yeah.
You got to get on it, man. You got to get that 400 grind.
That's...
Les, I'm so close. I stayed up till 3 a.m. three nights this week out of four.
It's not healthy.
I'm power grinding. I'm getting there. I'm not burned out yet, but that's because I've done so much else in between. I feel like whenever I get bored with power grinding, I just switch to something that's actually fun. And then the power grind never feels too bad. But I mean, I'm only like 320. I was 260 a few days ago.
Right.
So I could imagine getting to 400 by the end of it. I'll just be burnt out. And after Solstice ends, like, things will feel so much less rewarding that I think my goal is to get to 400 before Tuesday so that I don't have to worry about post-Solstice power grinding.
Yeah. What do you think, Luke? How are you feeling right now with Edge of Fate and everything?
Well, someone mentioned to me, I don't know if this is true or not, but am I supposed to be getting 200 armor at the end of the campaign?
If you did Legendary.
Legendary, no, you don't get the armor. You get big boost between the missions.
Actually, this is the crazy thing. So you get, if you do the Legendary campaign, you should be leveled up enough or close enough to 200. But if you buy the campaign skip, you automatically get level 200 armor.
Yeah.
That's right.
Because the way it worked. Something.
Yeah, because the way it worked is that Bungie said that you needed to be 100 for contest mode. Is what you needed. So if you just did Legendary campaign, opened all the chests and did all the missions, you'll be like around 130, 150. If you took your time with it, you probably get to 200. But yeah, the like Cross just said, the skip is what gets you
the skip will get
200
it.
Armor.
It's guaranteed 200.
Gotcha.
You drop 2,000 silver, and look, I could talk about that all day long. I don't want to get too carried away with that.
We can talk about it. Mm-hmm. We can talk about it.
Dude, sometimes I wonder, does Bungie make the campaign in a way so that we will buy the skips?
100%.
I think they might. I think it would have been, they probably made so much money, more money this year, considering the raid race was only 3 days after expansion launch. If someone had 10 days, I feel like even if you didn't like the campaign, you could get through it a couple times in 14 days, 10 days, whatever the usual prep period is. But 3 days, people are buying it. Les bought it. I bought it.
I bought it for both characters.
You have to have characters ready for the contest weekend. So maybe that's part of the plan.
Yeah. I will say, man, the Solstice update, I think, saved this whole 3 month period, in my opinion.
Agreed.
The tier fives that are reigning,
yeah,
it needed to happen. If this was not the case and we were only limited to tier fours, I feel like it'd be a riot right now with this game. The fact that we're getting so many tier fives and people that are at 300 are also getting tier fives and they're getting Hall of Foes. I think our Hall of Foes guaranteed tier fives. Do we know if that's the case?
Or no. I have a bunch
power
of
power boost, so it goes okay up like two as compared.
Gotcha. But like, man, like the tier five really helped the outlook on this expansion and like this whole time period until Ash and Iron.
Yeah. I have a bunch of Hall of Foil that aren't tier five, so they can drop at any tier. But
and it makes you jump from like different activities. Like that's my biggest thing with this portal is that you don't really jump from activity to activity, but now you go online and you're like, what's the Solstice thing, Graham? How are we looking? What are we supposed to be grinding? Like, I did comp yesterday, like, a ton with Vince just because it was a Solstice Ingram and I could farm the hand cannon. I would do Pinnacle Ops as well when it's, like, a really good one and also has Mint Retrograde or has something that I need. I'll go do that activity. If they can get that right where people are jumping from activity to activity, it's a success.
Well,
what do you guys think?
I think Solstice has done a good job. People got a taste of some high tier loads. And I think Paul Tass even put out an article this week. Like, the numbers by no means were fantastic from the day one of the expansion, but there's like a base starting to form here, you know, where it's like Bungie's starting to kind of like recapture a core fan base, which is good. But here's the thing, man, is it all comes with momentum. So this reminds me of a year ago whenever Bungie did people think of Into the Light as being the thing that started things, but it was actually Guardian Games. You remember that, Les? We had Guardian Games that came. Everyone got the skimmer. And then all of a sudden, things just started clicking for people. People were like, wait, this game is actually kind of fun to just play. And then it went from Guardian Games to Into the Light to Pantheon. And then that was the rampant Definer shape. Granted, I don't think we're going to get that right now. But it'd be nice if Bungie could capitalize on the momentum because Ash and Iron is bringing us back to the Plague Lands. And we're also going to be getting something they said is a new game type we've never experienced before. Whatever that means.
Mm. I think that Into the Light Pantheon period was the best period Bungie's experienced because it was them, instead of doing a giant content launch that includes things that people don't go back to, like destinations and campaigns, they put their resources toward replayability and then saw a base come immediately. I do think in the debate last week, I talked about how the numbers are bad. Player counts low, especially compared to Final Shape. But if we're talking about the percentage of the base that decided to play Edge of Fate on launch day that's still around today, it's much higher than a month out after Final Shape. So we've got like 60% of people that played on Edge of Fate launch are still playing today, which says something about Bungie, like you said, building that base. But I think if it doesn't come with momentum, like if the Plague Lands doesn't hit, or there isn't some sort of activity that's super replayable, or the Epic Raid is a fail, they could lose some of that momentum that I think that they might be trying to build going into Renegades.
Yeah. I want to bring a question to you guys. Talking about momentum with Into Light, Into Final Shape, do you guys think Solstice being 3 weeks and starting next week until Ash and Iron came out would have been better?
No.
So, like, you'll start next week, and then all the way to Ash and Iron,
I get where you're coming
from. And then you'll get Ash and Iron, like, to keep the momentum going. Because now we're going to have a three-week period of, we can't get to your fives now. What do we do?
Well, we had Arms Week before, right?
Yeah, we had Arms
Week. Like, there are little things in between.
Yeah.
I get where you're coming from, Les. These 3 weeks. But I feel like Solstice had to drop when it dropped. You know what I mean? Like
yeah, you're right on that,
Everybody was really feeling fatigued, especially, like, leveling and stuff like that. So I feel like it just had to drop. And keep in mind, I think Bungie did this purposely because what's around the corner, baby? Destiny Rising.
Yeah.
They want us to go look at the mobile. And look, I guess I'm going to play it. I don't know. I mean, Les, are you playing it at launch? Live?
Yeah, I'll be playing it. I'll be streaming it too.
Okay.
Nice.
Can we do blue stacks or is that not allowed?
No, it's allowed.
Or is there going to be?
It's allowed.
Okay.
You can do blue stacks or whatever the best emulators are. So I'm going to be honest, I'm not crazy about mobile games at all, but
I'm not either. I don't really have an interest. I want to try it just because of the Destiny name. But do we really think that Bungie wants a base to form for that game, because that would just take player count away from them.
I don't know. I don't know what the deal. Like, I have no idea. I do know that everything. Do you know they got fishing in the game? They got fishing. Yeah. They got barrel racing leagues. They've got some reworked gambit modes.
They got like your own clan house, and you got decorations and stuff. You guys see that? There's like little guardian, like what's it called? Like bobbleheads in there. I was like, what the heck? This is everything like that MMO has.
They've been watching Cross's request for years, and they're like, sure. Clan housing, got it. Raid. Exactly.
I mean, we already
a lot of them.
We already know they can like take like your guardian model and put it in the Salvations like edge raid. Like, imagine you could put that as a permanent, like, here's my like best looking drip in my clan house. Like,
right. So like Warframe does that too. And they're in their 99 area, you can like put your armor stuff, but I think the first month of Destiny Rising is going to be a grind, and then it's going to turn into like Genshin, where like you'll occasionally play, and I think that's where they want the sweet spot. I guess
just do your weeklies.
You do your weeklies, you do your dailies, you maybe get some new stuff, you run the raid that's in the game, and then you go back to Destiny. They're giving us this this kind of period here to just grind Destiny Rising until Ashen Iron, and then probably it'll be like a daily weekly thing, just like other gacha games. Because the first initial like month, there's so much to do. At Genshin, you had so much grinding to do. But once you finish everything, it just becomes a daily thing. But you get on for like 25 minutes to your dailies, and then you move on to another game.
Look, someone just said how many doors does a room require?
Three, apparently.
Three.
Hold on. Where's my finger? Hold on. That right there is the closet. That right there is the bathroom, and that leads outside. So
it makes sense.
I won't be. We're moving soon.
Yeah. So when you're like, picking clothes and you just took a shit, it's gonna stink in your closet when you're picking out clothes.
No, it's a larger bath. It goes like it's a shared bathroom hallway. So like,
gotcha. You got to turn a vent on, man. What do you mean?
I don't know. I don't know what he's got in the bathroom. I don't know if he's got a vent in there. Could be claustrophobic in there.
Luke seems like he would turn on a vent. All right.
Luke does. All right. Next topic.
Next topic.
Speaking of, still the topic of Destiny, the new anti-cheat that they tweeted about last week, they said new cheat detections are being rolled out today for Destiny 2. Once in place, a ban wave will be issued to players found cheating in PvE and PvP. And it was completed on the 12th, so 3 days ago.
It sucks
do we think there's any hope what that this surprise. Continues to be Dude. Reiterated on? Have we seen any difference in the game?
Let me play a cheater yesterday.
Let me pull up this clip. Let me pull up this clip right now.
Pull it up.
Let's see. Where's this thing at?
Nighthawk. I literally played a cheater yesterday too. That's so sad.
Nighthawk tagged, or he didn't even tag me, but he put up this clip on Twitter. Look at this. And look, I ran into this guy too.
Is this the one?
This is me, man. Or that's not me, but it's a guy with my name.
Hold up, what?
Guy with my name. So this is how good the anti-cheat is. Now and then he crashed his game. But the thing is the day after Bungie announced that, I too match the dude with my name. So and he was using cheats. Mm-hmm. So obvious, I don't know. It's like point proven, I suppose, is that anti-cheats suck ass. I mean, and look, this is a problem across the board. I have no like tech know-how on this. Les, you know anything on this front, anti-cheats and all that jazz?
Not really. No, I was never good at coding. I didn't know how to make all that stuff.
All I'm getting from this is that Bungie has whitelisted your name just in case there ever was cheating.
Well, I'm actually
cheaters are taking advantage of it.
Watch me get banned accidentally or something like that.
No, you know? Your name's safe. It seems fine. Like that's how he's got away with it.
I gotta wonder, man.
It's kind of crazy though. He's just rocking in there with like, I'm gonna name myself. Like that draws more attention, I would think.
They're proving a point. Yeah. They're proving a point. I think you know what I mean.
I wonder if AI is creating cheat engines and stuff.
We need AI
with
to
AI
counter
being
it.
With AI being so where it's at right now and growing. Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if these companies are using AI to create cheats for games, and that's why there's so many.
And then it's almost like the companies releasing anti-cheats or deploying them can't keep up with the iterations of cheats that are being sold. I think you know, the biggest headline for the last week that references this is the fact that Battlefield, just context for everyone who wasn't keeping up, Battlefield 6's beta dropped last weekend, continues this weekend, but it passed up Call of Duty's all-time peak for concurrent players. There were 521,000 people playing at the same time. And over the weekend, 330,000 cheaters were caught by EA's anti-cheat. But the game was apparently still rampant with cheaters, despite the fact that hundreds of thousands of them were caught. So I guess it just raises the question, like, do these anti-cheat systems actually meaningfully deter people, or does it just give them a playground to be like, okay, it's beta time, we're going to go figure out how to build cheats around their anti-cheat system and make our cheats better, and then we just get to keep selling cheats. I don't know if there's a solution to it.
Yeah, this is going to be a rampant thing until they pulled a Fortnite move and they just actually sue the player. That's like the only thing I could, but there's so many cheaters. They can't get to everybody, right? Mm-hmm. Like, but that's what Fortnite did. And I think, I don't know the exact number, it was like $174,000 on the person that was cheating.
How old was the people? It had to be some kids, huh?
I don't know who was, but man, that would deter a lot of people. Like, damn, if they're trying to sue us and stuff. Imagine your parents finding out that you're getting sued for cheating in a game, and they're gonna have to pay $174,000.
Oh fuck! That's Junior. That you're would, on your own. Get them to stuff good like, luck.
Yeah, figure it out. Use your college tuition or something. I don't know, but
yep.
But like, I mean, that's the only thing they could do, really.
I draw the parallel to when, like, your ISP would contact you back in the day if you were pirating stuff. Like, there has to be real-world consequences as an actual deterrent, or there's no, like, the person who's doing it isn't going to care. Like, I'm not saying that I love that an ISP is doing that, but, like, when it comes to, like, violating the rules and, in this case, cheating in a video game, you lose your account. I mean, unless you've paid a bunch of money on skins or something, it doesn't matter. For some of these people, they're making money off of it because they're cheating on other people's accounts or carrying them through stuff. I mean, we saw that in the day one raid. So, yeah, I think that suing everyone, is it possible? Don't think so. But some real world deterrent has to be in place if we're ever going to see,
I love that idea. Like, hold on. Your internet provider actually knocking on your door and being like, hey, listen, quit doing that sussy shit or we're going to cut you off. You know what I mean? Like, how do we get to that point? Because we got to that point. I remember getting my notice because I was pirating stuff, and I got the notice that my internet was going to get cut off if I kept pirating things. And so it obviously became a serious enough issue for them to step in. At what point in gaming is it going to become a serious enough issue? And I don't know why we're not even already there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know where you would go with that, really.
I just, like Luke said, you can't sue everyone, but I think it's about the companies picking the most important cases and saying, we're proving a point here, like, don't cheat or you will be banned. I think Bungie's idea behind banning everyone possible that cheated or was associated with cheaters during the Desert Perpetual contest raid was them saying, in part, like, they know their anti-cheat's not catching this. This is going to be a problem in future raids, but hopefully people who cheat on contest raids are more afraid of doing that next time if they want to preserve their account. I looked into the Fortnite cheater situation, and it wasn't the first time that Epic Games chose to sue someone. They chose to sue someone who used an account with cheats to get to their championship grand finals in 2023. And then the next year sued this guy for $175,000 and they won. And so they're handpicking certain cases to prove a point. Yeah. Like, yeah, you can cheat in Fortnite. Well, our anti-cheat's clearly not catching everyone, but we'll notice and, you know, we'll take legal action.
I wonder if there's any way that, like, internet providers could just, like you said, shut down the internet. Like, hey, we know you're cheating. You're having no more internet. You can't play multiplayer games anymore. Look, like, we could get to a point of that. That'd be nice.
I give them some comments on this, too, and be like, they wouldn't care about you cheating in the game. But look, obviously somebody cared about me pirating Naruto fucking 12, 14 years ago. You know what I'm coming from? So, like, mattered to someone for at least at that time. I think I had, like, AT&T. And I thought that was such a low thing. I was like, why would they even care about this? But I got a message for it. Or I got a letter for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got a letter in the mail?
I got a letter in the mail. Telling you to stop? I got a letter in the mail saying that if I pirated any more stuff, that I would have my internet turned off.
Okay, was this real?
This is real. Yeah, it was
really crazy.
Get a Bungie letter with Deej's signature saying, if you don't stop cheating, you're banned.
They should do that.
It wasn't AT&T. It was Comcast. It was Comcast. Yeah, yeah. So it was Comcast, and I had power. I didn't pirate like that much, but I had pirated like Game of Thrones. I think like some Naruto stuff, some other animes, you know what I mean? But I had not done any like games or anything. So mine was just like shows, and I still got that letter.
Mm-hmm. It's such a weird situation because, man, cheating. I don't think cheating's ever been as bad as it is now. Like it's ramping fast. Like it's not like like it was. You get cheaters here and there, but now it's like, dude, I can't go more than 3 matches without being like, yo, this guy is sus. I go look at his account. He's brand new account.
Brand new
7.0 KD. I'm like, dude, like what is going on here?
Yeah.
So it's something has to happen. I just don't know how they can do it.
Yeah. Part of me wonders if hardware bans even work anymore. Yeah, like so many of these cheaters are just new accounts. So how do you stop someone from just making new accounts forever and ever?
Someone just has to show up to their house, beat their ass right there on the spot, just whoop his ass. You know what I mean? Whatever. Yeah. All of the above. You know, you get caught for cheating, immediate ass whooping.
Nah. I'm in for that. I'm okay with that.
What
if they hired you for that? Would you go to people's houses and spank them?
Depends on who it is. You know what I mean? We need like Mr. Smith AI or some shit. Like I think it's the only thing we can really use to counter this. All right.
All right, I guess fun.
Yeah.
Okay. What other news are we covering? Guys, we have a lot of topics, so I know we're getting hung up on Destiny. But so far we'll see what happens from now until Ash and Iron, and I hope the momentum continues to carry over. I think for me, the big pain points right now is Mythic Kepler difficulty is still a bother, and also Fireteam Ops is just not rewarding. I just don't like how Solo Ops is just way better. Even Pinnacle Ops, way better. Fireteam Ops, which has so many great activities, is just incredibly unrewarding, and there's so many situations where you don't even get up to A tier. The timers seem to be off. All that jazz.
I think another thing is that like you get the same rewards in solo ops as Fireteam Ops. I think that's what separates Pinnacle Ops and solo ops, because you get in retrograde, you get
the device
fusion, you get that armor like that.
Yeah.
Like if there was like a weapon set or like an armor set that's only tied to Fireteam Ops, you might get more people playing it too.
Yeah.
That's what we play when we want certain things. I can get the same things in Fireteam Ops and solo ops. I'm gonna go do solo ops.
Yeah. That's a good point.
Yeah.
You're starting to get into the strike specific loot conversation back in the day.
Right. Like,
hey, we should have more things that are tied to very specific activities, which I think is a really great idea. So
I think so too. Yeah.
What did you guys think of the TWAB with the warlock changes?
That looks pretty good.
I mean, I love them.
Excited for ability regeneration and empowering rifts.
Ross is playing it off, but he's so excited to play warlock and main it again.
Look. Here's the thing.
Excited. Up last night.
The thing that they said at the end of it, where it's like, what do you think of like an identity of a warlock is? I really think they just need to lean heavy into the whole like minion army thing. Like that to me is, you know, warlocks are known for minions or having a bunch of little buddies, or healing, or terrible aim. Those are the three things that warlocks are known for.
Hold up.
And so I really think Bungie should lean into those.
Mm-hmm. The terrible aim part especially.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
I don't know, Titans, all they do is punch, so we're kind of in the same boat there. So.
And hunters are the only ones with good aim?
Hunters are beginning to only punch as well, so we're all kind of just bad at aiming, I guess.
There's a lot of blending.
If we're talking warlock identity, hopefully that means self-res is coming very soon.
Oh, hell yeah.
Ooh. Really leaning into that.
Crucible so much and raids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
God, I think they just bring that back. Anyways.
We've got some other gaming news before we move into studios. Specifically, Helldivers 2 had a PlayStation teaser this week that hinted at a potential Halo 3 collab. I don't know if any of y'all played Halo 3. If you're excited for the collab with Helldivers, if you think that like those two game styles match up, or if this is just marketing hype for Helldivers. Thoughts?
I think just...
to clarify, Halo 3 ODST specifically.
Correct. ODST specifically.
It makes sense though. Characters look pretty similar in terms of like the armor they have. Like I could, it plays off. The weapons could easily fit in as well. Like if you brought the Halo sniper in there, easily it looks like it belongs in the game as well. Bring the BR, bring the AR as well. It all looks like it belongs in Helldivers as well. So it's not an unusual collab.
Well, I mean, you saw the if you saw the teaser they did with the like at the end of their Xbox trailer, the new city, like cities they added with Super Earth with the rain. I mean, the vibe is there. It matches so well. So
for sure,
just add the saxophone in and some of the ODST armor sets, and be having a good time.
Wait.
I know we've got just.
Hold on. The collab here is just armor sets and weapons, right? They're not adding a whole new location, right? Like that's like ODST thing.
You don't know. There's no confirmation.
Oh, okay.
We saw was city raining and a drop pod coming down with that saxophone playing in the background.
Yeah. It's all up to the imagination. And, you know, I think that we do that with Destiny often too. Like give us like a little bitty tidbit in a trailer and we're like, oh, new subclass. Or, we're finally getting, you know, this thing that we've been missing forever. And I think that sometimes with these collabs, I think maybe it's intentional by the studio, but it really lets fans hype up in their imagination, like all of the things that a collaboration could entail or all the things that are coming to the game. And then, like you said, it ends up being, well, actually, you're going to pay $20 for this armor set. And that's the collab. I don't know what direction we think Helldivers is going into, but the teaser made it look like it's not just armor.
I would say the devs there have been really, really good in terms of their monetization. So I would assume they're going to be pretty fair here. And it makes sense because Helldivers, this is going to coincide with their launch on Xbox, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Seems like what it is.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's good. They're probably going to get a nice boost. I mean, I like that studio. I think they've done a great job. I think, wasn't last year like the story there so differing between each other. When you had PlayStation's Helldivers, was it Arrowhead? Then you had Concord and Firewalk, man. Talk about the highest of highs and the lowest of lows happening in, was that last year?
Yeah.
That was last year.
Yeah.
That was 2023.
What?
I think
2024.
2024, my bad.
Yeah.
I'm stuck in the past.
2023 was 1 year ago.
I think the thought that I had with Helldivers, I was more interested in the fact that it's coming to Xbox and that they're breaking Sony exclusivity. Do we think that is a Sony saying, you know, we'll want to work with Xbox more in the future, work with Microsoft more, which in the past they've been very much holding on to their own IPs and not wanting to share them? Do we think it's Sony saying, we want this game to profit more, so we're giving it out? You know, like, do we think that this is just a general shift of them working together more?
I think it's just a contract.
I've got a couple thoughts on this, but
go for it.
The first one being gaming, thankfully, has been moving away from exclusivity, like, as like generally over the past like 10 plus years. I mean, back when Destiny 1 was first out, like there were Sony exclusives. People remember like specific strikes that could use. Yeah, Hawk Moon. Yep. That like if you were playing
Monte Carlo,
Xbox,
I think was also exclusive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was like so many different things where it was like you could only get these things playing on Sony's. And thankfully, in-game exclusives like isn't really happening too much anymore. Yeah. Like we've moved kind of away from that. There's still some platform-specific stuff, games that are only available on one platform or another, but I don't have any backing for this, but it feels like corporations as a whole in this media sphere are moving towards partnering up in order to increase revenue. So for instance, a cross example here, I don't know if you guys saw how Hulu and Disney are going to be partnering up with their streaming services. And so the reason being is that Netflix is really the only profiting streaming service right now. And everyone else is trying to fight for increased revenue in order to like make up for the cost of video streaming platform to tons and tons of people. And so their a method of hopefully attacking this is, hey, we're going to partner up and I guess offer more than what we could previously.
It's like UFC, right? UFC with Paramount? That's a thing now?
Yeah, sure. They just signed a big deal.
UFC and Paramount just signed a massive... It's like $7 billion deal or something
It's a lot.
It's huge. So now you can watch all UFC fights on Paramount Plus.
Yeah.
And I hear people saying like Disney owns Hulu, so there's like some stuff there. All I'm saying really is that there's a lot of consolidation taking place.
Yeah.
Like just in general. And so
yeah,
I'm starting to see that.
Yeah. Where you buy just cable TV and you have everything. We're getting back to that state.
Full circle, baby.
Man, it sucks having to have all these subscriptions, man. You got Netflix, Hulu,
Disney.
We
had it so good over, what was it, 15 years ago. We would just have one damn subscription and we had everything.
Yep.
Yeah. So we think we're going to see a general shift in that direction in the gaming industry too, because it's not that studios are... Like Microsoft and Sony are not consolidating into one anytime soon.
Oh, by no means.
No, by no means at all. But I think that maybe they've both realized that when there are too many, you know, people in the room, it's hard for everyone to be as profitable as possible. So they're just teaming up more often now.
There's not enough time in the world is the reason. You only have so much time to play every game. Yeah. So it's like kind of have to work together in a way and to make as much money across all platforms, which is why I wish, like, man, if some Switch games came, like, you got Mario Kart on a PC, pretty fun, actually.
Man,
I know. Nintendo would never give a damn.
But man, I would play Mario Kart for a little bit and talk that shit.
I know you could do emulators, but like, it's just not like, not as good. Yeah.
Yeah.
So Nintendo don't care though.
The amount of work you have to go into playing Nintendo games not on their console or like even streaming it as well, it's just such a hassle.
Yeah,
like Mario Kart, I got Breath of the Wild on my Steam Deck and I love it, but I mean just the amount of work to do that and have it run well, it's kind of absurd.
Yeah,
looks about to get a pirating mail.
You're about to get a letter in the mail.
You better not pirate our Nintendo games anymore
right now, or else it will get hit. Fix that.
He's gonna get that mail.
Right. But yeah, I think PC has helped bridge that gap a lot. Microsoft has got a better platform on PC for Xbox, and so there's Xbox Game Bar and like being able to access stuff there. We've got Game Pass, so, and Sony's been like, it seems their MO has been, it comes out on PlayStation first, and then we release it on the PC later. So, yeah. I only want that, like, window to get smaller and smaller, to hopefully they're just at the same time or very close, because, and I know there's porting stuff, but, I don't know. I just wish everything was on every console, every platform at the same time. It'd be super fun.
Have you guys looked at the numbers for Game Pass? Like, the big number everyone always pops up is like subscription numbers, but like revenue wise, like, because it just doesn't make sense to me from a number standpoint. Granted, as a consumer, I love it, but
Use Game Pass a lot, Cross?
I personally don't, but I see why it is so good. Because what was it back in May and June? We got three games back to back that were all on Game Pass. What was it, Les? We had, was Expedition 33 was on Game Pass, right?
Expedition 33 was on there, yeah, it was. Elden Ring, I think, was on there, no?
Oblivion, though. I'm talking about, like, games that came out. So, Oblivion Remaster. It was, like, three games during that time frame that I was like, dude, like, I would easily, like, I could see where people would drop, you know, 40, 50, maybe 60 bucks on each one of these experiences.
Oh, and Doom as well.
Mm-hmm. But it was all on Game Pass. So, but here's the thing. Maybe it doesn't really have to make sense number-wise. Maybe, what if this is a war of attrition and Microsoft is just going to try to outspend Sony right now? And just that's because, I mean, they got the infinite money glitch.
Yeah. Yeah. They're making $5 billion annually on Xbox Game Pass. And, you know, I think there was a recent article that came out. I think SkillUp covered it where, you know, there was an analytics firm that releases an annual report on how the Game Pass is changing people's decisions around gaming. And it showed that sometimes these studios are hurt by putting their games on Game Pass and signing contracts with Microsoft, because the analytics firm found that a lot of people come into the game on Game Pass, but they try it in a sampling way of like, there's so much choice in front of me. It's almost like Netflix fatigue. I'm going to turn on a bunch of different shows. I don't really know what I want to watch or commit to. So I'm just going to click a bunch, back out. You know, I'm trying to find a show that works for me. People do the same thing on Game Pass is what they found. They're sampling, but the people who committed right away to the $50, $40 price tag on a game play it for significantly longer. And so Game Pass isn't helping studios build a loyal fan base. It's just helping people click download on the game initially and then potentially not touch it very much after that. And that, so like, does a subscription service like that work for the individual studios?
I have no idea. I'm curious to know what the contract is, you know, what the revenue split is for the studios themselves.
I have some info on that.
Microsoft's got a lot of money, man. Lot of money. Like Xbox seems, I don't know how much like revenue they make just solely off of Xbox combined with everything they make, but I'm pretty sure Xbox isn't that big of a priority. I could be completely wrong though, but like they make so much money, they could make so much money even without it.
Yeah,
you know, that it's just kind of like, let's try to bring as many people as possible, right? But I could be wrong on that. I don't know if you guys have stats on that.
On the market cap, I know it was, what was it, like three or oh shit! What is it? Is it $3 trillion at this point? Is Microsoft's market cap at $3 trillion,
or something like that?
What is $5 billion to $3 trillion? You know what I mean?
Exactly. Yeah.
What, you know?
I mean, it dwarfs Sony substantially.
Yeah.
So
they're making boatloads, forcing me to switch to Windows 11. And
God, then the right.
The next one, and all well, the same. Thing. Slander all Windows. Do the same thing.
All do the exact same thing every damn year. We got to get a damn.
It
and
gets
the things
worse.
Get incompatible.
Worse? Y'all are hating way too much on Windows 11.
Some ways it's worse. It's just like you use a PC every day for like editing, and like you find the little differences that are annoying. Like
file
as long
file
as I can click on Destiny and it launches, I don't care what I could be a Windows 7.
That's a Destiny 2 lover talking right there. As long as I can
open,
click on
if
Destiny.
I can open, whoa, if I can open games, period, and not have an issue.
No, I will you say, said man, as long as these, I can open Destiny.
I don't know about you guys, but man, these game driver updates, they make my PC run so much worse every time. Like I go play Battlefield 6, I have to do the game driver update. PC starts to run like ass. I don't know what they do with these driver updates, man. It's like they want us to buy the newest graphics card. So they're like, hey,
I'll tell you what, NVIDIA.
But I ain't gonna spend that money. Nope.
I don't know what they pushed out this summer, but whatever update they had for drivers was like absolutely terrible.
It was awful.
Shadowplay wasn't working. Oh no, it was across the board. Shadowplay was wasn't very working. My displays were freaking out. Like it was just nonsense. But I think it's fixed now.
I just wait until my stuff is breaking before I update anything.
Me too.
You need to update them for the new games, though. Like,
no,
like,
you don't always.
No,
have
you don't
to.
Have to.
You it don't always me, have
like,
to.
Some of them definitely like push you to do it. And I know Battlefield 6 required a lot of things, like the safe boot option and everything else. But I normally don't update anything. And the other side of things is like everybody's talking about like the new GPUs and stuff just being substantially better. I actually don't even feel that. I actually feel like being a generation behind. I don't know what it is. The new generation GPUs, I always tend to have problems. When I upgraded to the 4000 series cards, when you remember, even back when 3000 series cards were new, they were getting melted inside of New World. Y'all remember that?
That was wild. I was so scared.
Literally being a generation behind seems to just be better bang for your buck, and you avoid all those issues. For the most part.
Yeah. It's almost like they launch a product half-baked and fix it with later updates.
Right?
Does that remind you of anyone?
What is that?
I can't put my finger on it, but it sounds so familiar.
Yeah. It's almost like that's how corporations work. That's the way.
Yeah.
Why isn't my grenade stat giving me all my energy?
Do we think that, you know, I know that Xbox Game Pass is we said it's a small drop in the pool for Microsoft, but Cross, you're saying you love the idea of Game Pass, but you also don't use it. And so who do we think the target audience is for Game Pass? And how can we, is there a space in gaming for more subscription-based models? I know you've talked a little bit about what if we paid a per month price for Destiny and we got access to everything. Do we think that subscription models would work for people, or would they complain that it's just yet another subscription that they have to pay for?
I think as, you know, anyone in a tight household, the Game Pass model is great for them for sure. And it definitely works for Xbox players themselves. You know, I would probably take more advantage of it, but I'm just so locked into Steam right now, which is where I have my entire library. So, but who knows? Maybe I go down that path. As far as subscription service, specifically for Destiny, I brought this up even when I'm like, hey guys, how would you feel if you could pay $5 a month, but you have access to everything that Bungie's ever made in Destiny? But as soon as you want to quit playing, you can end the subscription and you're good. So like, you can literally come back every other month if you want, and it will come out way cheaper over the long run. And everybody's like,
I would love that.
Everyone was like immediately like, no, that's fucking terrible. I never want to pay a subscription. I'd rather just pay up front. And it's like, all right. Well, I mean,
I think in this particular day and age, I mean, y'all were just saying like cable was it, because you didn't have to pay for 20 different subscriptions. If Bungie implements a subscription for Destiny, it's awesome. We get access to everything. But then Expedition 33 has a subscription and Battlefield has a subscription, and you're just paying for, oh, I want to play 10 games that I kind of enjoy. I have to pay for subscriptions for all of them. That may overwhelm someone. And then the upfront cost, oh, I paid for Expedition 33 once and it's done with, and I have it forever now and it's mine. Whereas with a subscription model, you never feel like the content you buy is your own. But I guess gaming studios can remove content from us even when we do pay for it. So I don't really know what the answer is there, but I could see myself even wanting to try a game less if I knew that it was just yet another subscription that I had to add on.
Depends on the game that we're talking about, I think, right? Yeah. Like Destiny, it would work because we constantly get updates for the game. If we did it for like Expedition 33,
yeah, I can never,
I
work for
subscription
that.
Make it never. Wouldn't work.
Never.
Because it's a one time you play, you might go back for New Game Plus, but you won't do it. A subscription model works for MMO RPG games. That's
live
it.
Service. Right. Yeah.
Live service games. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What were you going to say, Luke?
Yeah. Oh, well, I was going to go back because for the Game Pass thing, I think the target audience honing in on that is probably younger kids. Only because, I mean, I remember when I wanted to get a console, like, for the first time, and, like, how much asking my parents to get an Xbox for Christmas, that sort of situation. Mm-hmm. I mean, imagine now where you can go up to your parent and say, hey, I want to play the newest games, and I only have to pay, like, $15, essentially, a month. I mean, I think that's a way more enticing option to a parent than, spend $300, $400 on a console.
Dude, I remember... So. As a kid, having to sell a bunch of games just to buy the one new game.
Were you reselling that, them, bro?
I would sell. I would show up to GameStop get that with ass. Like eight different games.
Yeah,
oh, man.
Sell them all.
Yeah,
and then use that money to buy. And I still needed to pitch in my own money to just buy the newest Call of Duty or something. So like you said, Luke, like Game Pass is so good for kids because you just one time $15 a month. You can play whatever game you want that's available there.
Yep.
So.
I like it. We'll see if this actually transfers elsewhere. Again, I grew up on RuneScape, and what I loved about RuneScape, man, you paid your $5 a month, and you had access to everything. And see, RuneScape did such a good job, because when you first played it, it was the free-to-play world, and you're like, and you would walk up to this gate, and you would press the gate to open it, and it would be like, you a broke bitch. Get this membership. You know what I mean? And I would always be like, what's on the other side of this gate? You know what I mean? And then eventually I worked with the courage, asked my mom, was like, mom, for my birthday, could I please just have this subscription? And it was only $5 a month. So mom, she was like, sure. You know, that's fine. And then of course you could play it on any PC, even the worst PCs. But I don't know if it would necessarily work for Destiny, because RuneScape has a ton of content. Like, you will have, and not that Destiny doesn't have a ton of content, but you've got just thousands and thousands of hours of content in RuneScape, just nonstop grinding. And so there's like, it definitively has a reason, or it shows its value to buy this subscription. Destiny, I think it would make sense if they could keep it cheap enough. Like, I wouldn't want it to exceed, like, $7 a month or something.
Is that, going back to, like, RuneScape thing, is because everything you do in RuneScape is helpful for the end. As in Destiny right now, not everything you do helps you get to the end, if that makes sense. You have to do certain things to get to 450. Like, that's the biggest problem. If we had everything available in the game right now and it helped you get to power level, a subscription model would work for Destiny. Because there is a lot of content in the game. It's just forgotten. Because there's no reason to do them.
Mm-hmm.
In RuneScape, everything you do is to help you get to the end goal. You sit there chopping at a tree, it helps you in the future. You mine, it helps you in the future. You do the certain quest, it helps you in the future. There's no reset. It's just continuous.
Yeah.
But Destiny kind of did need a reset, though. So, but it would be nice if Bungie could be quicker on bringing the older stuff up to par with what we have right now.
Speaking of which, and I know we're kind of jumping around from topic to topic right now, but who put out the tweet? I think it was GLAAD that put out the tweet this week where he mentioned, let me see if I can find this real quick, guys. Hold on.
Yeah, pull it up.
Okay. So it was the Dropped Frames podcast with Co.
And
essentially it's their take. Yeah. And what their take is essentially saying, like, man, Bungie really dropped the ball by not doing a D3. And even GLAAD says, it's wild to hear this and feel the validation from folks who don't even play Destiny or who barely do. Bungie not resetting everything and dropping a Destiny 3 will always be the biggest throw of all time and a huge head scratcher for the rest of my life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I
think Marathon's fumble is what stopped us from having a Destiny 3.
It was supposed to be.
Like, if Marathon,
do you not think that was that decision to not have a Destiny 3 in creation years ago? Do you think that was Marathon's fault?
Well, Marathon's been, but here's the thing. Think about it this way. Marathon's been in development for what, 5+ years?
Yeah, but I think it was just meant to be an incubation project, and then it turned into something that. Like, they're supposed to have plenty of incubation projects going, and Marathon was likely not supposed to be the end-all be-all. And then that happened after multiple layoffs and funding cuts and Destiny's trajectory. And then it's like, okay, well, now Marathon has to cook. But it probably wasn't always in that state where it was like, okay, Marathon's make or break for the future of Bungie maintaining multiple IPs.
Because I'm thinking of the timeline here, right? Like, we finished Final Shape last year, right? Marathon drops that year. Bungie goes on hiatus for Destiny 3 for, let's say, 3 years. They bring us the Edge of Fate, you know, storyline in a new game. It's a great narrative start. Like, it sets it up for the future. Why does it have to be in D2, though? If it was in Destiny 3, and, like, I'm just thinking, like, end of Final Shape, you beat the raid, black screen, slow text comes up, D3 is in production. Boom, that's it. The hype levels would have been insane. And then you have Marathon to cover the... If they actually didn't reset as many times as they did and change too many of the fundamentals of the game, you have Marathon to sustain the cash flow in while you're making Destiny 3, and then you bring in a whole new player base as well as, like, a fresh start. Because Edge of Fate is a fresh start for any player that comes into the game. We're all starting from zero.
Yeah.
So it was the perfect time to do D3, and it seems like everyone outside of Bungie... had the thought, like, we're like, why isn't this just Destiny 3? You know, it's like only Bungie was the one that said we don't need Destiny 3, while everyone else.
Unless I agree with you.
Doing, you know,
I agree with what you're saying. This was like the necessary Destiny 3 moment. I completely agree with GLAAD's tweet too. It's just it will always be bizarre that wasn't the plan. I just don't think it's that Bungie never thought of it. I think that it was probably okay, look at where our player base is. Do we think there's enough momentum for a Destiny 3? Do we have the funding for that? Do we want to commit the next 5 to 10 years to this game, or are we riding Destiny 2 out until it's not relevant anymore? I feel like there were a lot of decisions, and then who is the one making those decisions? The executives.
Right.
The executives who we have zero trust in. So, like, they probably just didn't make the right decision.
I wonder how many people, like Bungie developers, would have wanted to make Destiny 3. Like, just like a poll, you know? Every Destiny 2 crew, every Destiny 2 dev, like, would you want to keep working on Destiny 2? Would you want to work on a Destiny 3? Like, what would the split be there?
So hold on. In order to make a sequel, you gotta have something worthy of a sequel. Like, creatively. Yep. And unfortunately, I think Bungie blew their load in the final shape with Prismatic.
Mm-hmm.
And then...
True.
And now you done blew your load with the tier system.
Yeah.
Okay, so not that I'm speaking out against the D3. Obviously, for marketing reasons, I think D3 just makes... It, of course, makes the most sense. But y'all remember when we went from D1 to D2? How many of us booted up D1 after D2? We played D2 and we're like... Damn, this is shit. And then I remember going back to D1 and being like, man, I miss the good old days. I miss this. And it wasn't just nostalgia. It was actually better than D2 vanilla. Better than D2 vanilla. And until Forsaken came, all of us kept going back to D1. And then eventually, we stopped kind of going back to D1. Occasionally, we would still go back and play raids. But hold up. Let's just be real. Based on the past 10 years... How much shit from Destiny 2 would have been ported into Destiny 3? Would you be excited about Vault of Glass for the third fucking time? Crota's Inn for the third time? You know what I mean? I'm just saying, like, that same... Now, here's the thing. I would love for Bungie to go in there and just give us a complete fresh take on everything and... But we've been getting, what's been bridging the gap here for, the past decade has been porting stuff from D1 into D2. And it's still happening, because we're getting Plague Lands and Ash and Iron.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like, I feel like I'm playing Destiny 2 right now, though, because I don't play anything that's old. Pre-Edge of Fate, I don't play. Crucible's the only Pre-Edge of Fate thing that I do.
You're saying this is the real Destiny 2?
Like, this is, we're already playing Destiny 3 right now. If they made Destiny 3 and they brought all this, maybe it's... plus a little bit more with a couple years more of content, we're not really doing old stuff right now. So
it's D3 without the marketing advantages.
Without the marketing.
Yeah. Which sucks ass, because then that defeats the purpose. You slap a number on it, people are going to be like, well, maybe it's better. Maybe it's not. I don't know. You know what I mean? And people.
You don't have a good track record, though.
People give it a go.
I think it was too late for that, though. I really do. Because are people going to give D3 vanilla the same chance that they gave D2 vanilla? Destiny was in a much different state. I think right now, Bungie comes out tomorrow and says, yeah, D3, we were wrong. D3's in development. I don't think people really have the same buzz that they would have had if that was announced alongside Final Shape. If the marketing push needed to be... Our saga's ending here. We are going to defeat the Witness, and Final Shape is going to be the end. And then you'll have a Destiny 3. And I think any push for Destiny 3 after that, I unfortunately think it's too late for Bungie.
I think.
Do you think we'll ever get a D3? And they'll just write it out with D2?
I think it's in Sony's hand at this point, fellas. I think Sony is going to be the one who... I mean, they're slowly swallowing Bungie right now, so...
And maybe they were the initial ones that said no, Destiny 3 doesn't make any sense. We know they've said in the past they loved Bungie because of their live service expertise. Maybe Sony had too much faith in the longevity of Destiny 2 and said, because again, these development decisions are made years in advance. If Destiny 3 was going to be created, it would have been decided by some exec team years ago. They probably said at that time, no, Destiny 2's got so much left in the engine. We do not need to think about a D3. Y'all are doing so well in the live service category. And I'm not saying that's correct. I'm just saying, look at the decision-making that we've seen from leadership there. It wouldn't surprise me if they just thought Destiny 2 had a lot longer of a lifespan than it might.
Look, I still feel so baited from Luke Smith's trailer intro last year. I mean, dude, the way he was sitting there in front of us and he was like, he just looks right in the camera. He's like, this is definitely not it for Destiny. You know what I mean? Yeah. And then the man's gone.
Yeah.
30 days later.
Bye.
Was it always the plan, Luke? I just want to know. Was it always the plan?
I don't think so. But I don't think we're ever getting a D3. I just want to wrap it up on that note. I don't think D3 is going to be a possibility for us ever.
Yeah, that's the sad truth. Because, man, they failed both launches
Yeah.
of their new games. And with the way Marathon's going, it doesn't seem like it's going to be launching any better.
I don't know, man.
Unless they make substantial changes. Well, if it was going to launch, but like, I'm glad they delayed it, man. But if it was going to launch in the state it was going to launch, they're going to have three back-to-back titles fail on launch, and they're going to have to rebuild it. So we got to be happy it delayed it.
Here's what I'm hearing that things are getting pretty serious about Marathon. All right, like, and I don't, I don't really know if that's going to mean anything, but you know,
have you played it?
I haven't played it. No, fuck no. See how many Doom videos do we make, Luke?
Doom
videos. Oh. We had a whole month of talking shit about Marathon. We ain't getting invited back to play that one, man. that one's gone, dude. No. I mean, and look, but here next year, I am looking forward to seeing what they come up with. You know, I've heard things. I've heard that you know, and we've seen some of the leaks too, you know. And but I mean, it really it comes down to perception too. Concord was a humbling experience, because the moment people just go, that game is shit, and then they tell the next person that's done, it's done.
Unfortunately, I feel like, you know, a decade or two ago, maybe two at this point, the opinion of one viral headline might not have mattered as much. Everyone would just try the game for themselves and see how they liked it. But now, I mean, the second that you have bad PR, you're done.
Yeah.
So I do think that they're taking Marathon more seriously. And I also don't think we need a Destiny 3 now. I really, really wanted one. But now that I think it's too late, it's like, we don't necessarily need that shit. I think Bungie just needs to prove that Destiny 3 can evolve and, you know, fix bugs, make it more rewarding, make it into the game they want it to be. Because if they're giving us Destiny 3 right now, then cool. We've got the reset that we want. Now they just have to, you know.
I'm playing more now than ever, so.
Yeah, yeah. I haven't played more. Like, no, getting on and getting prime drops and stuff.
But
how long do you guys think Destiny 2 will last, though? Like, if you have to give it a time frame, when do you think Bungie will say, I think we're done?
Dude, it's time to do something else. It all comes down to the devs.
I think it just comes to,
What can they keep being creative? I mean, look, RuneScape, they tried to do the whole breakout to make their game more of a modern MMORPG. It backfired. Then they went back to the roots, relaunched old school RuneScape. And then look at that game. It's got the highest peak count it has ever gotten in its history. And that's, dude, that game is like, I don't know, how many years old? 25 years old at this point, or 24 years old?
Mm-hmm. So what you're saying is Bungie needs to make a very bad decision, then make OG Destiny.
No, they've already made Destiny the bad classic. Decisions. Do you understand?
they have to make
the good decisions now. We're way past bad decision time.
So we need an OG Destiny is what Cross wants.
Yeah. Bless, if you would have asked me last year after Final Shape, or maybe, I don't know if y'all disagree with this statement, but if you would have asked me last year after Final Shape, before us knowing that there were system resets coming and a change to the expansion release timeline, if you were asked how long do you think Destiny's going to last now that this saga's over, I probably would have said it won't. Like, I think people I don't know if there's a reason to come back. I don't want to play the same seasonal model I've been playing. I don't think anyone does. It's over. And so many people felt satisfied with that. I think it was the right call to just try to reinvent the wheel. And I think it shows that the devs, they do have juice. Like, they can be creative. I think they need to be given the resources and the funding to do that, obviously. But I think they've still got it in them, because this is a very old game and they are reinventing the wheel right now. And all of us are sitting here saying we're playing more than ever. So
it's got to be community driven, though. We need in-game polls that says, hey, would you like this or that? And then we also need... Dude, just take everything from RuneScape, put it in Destiny, and this game would thrive.
Or Destiny Rising. Get
SRL Destiny back in for an event, and
you
don't
want Destiny Rising. Dude. You don't want Destiny Rising. There's going to be a microtransactions video part two. You don't want Destiny Rising.
Can you imagine if they brought back like SRL as like a Arms Week kind of thing, like right after New Year's in January? After when Renegades drops, you have all that content. You have the Dawning. Have all that. Christmas break ends. in January we have an SRL week, like new armor and then maybe like a new weapon to get. Like, I mean, how bad can that be? Like, people been asking for it. Doesn't have to be permanent.
I'm gonna be honest. But
like a
dude.
Little event here and there, you know, it wouldn't be too bad.
SRL was overrated. Like, look.
Cross, you just suck at driving. Hold on, okay, hold on. You just suck at driving.
I'm just saying.
I've seen
overrated.
You drive. The best. I've seen you drive. No, you have trouble. Okay.
If we could pick up a shell and then you know launch the shell at other Sparrow drivers and mushrooms.
Wait.
You know what I mean?
Actually, though,
you know, Mario Kart in Destiny.
That would pop.
Throw a matter spark ball? Hell yeah. Get my teammate to turn into a matter spark and throw him. Hell yeah.
But I don't want just racing.
Dash. You have someone on the back of the Sparrow and your team.
Yeah, shooting? There you go.
I will be on the back of Les's skimmer shooting.
Hell yeah. Whoa. Yeah.
It's gonna be skimmer racing if it comes back. Who's using a Sparrow these days?
But they do go faster. Slide.
Yeah. Okay, fair.
There's a world where SRL could exist and it would be an awesome event. Like,
I agree. Yeah, I'm with you on that. I wouldn't mind.
Yeah.
They give me that old SRL armor.
I'd play it, but I just don't. I don't play Destiny 2 to race my Sparrow, I guess.
You're doing it wrong then. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're a ball fan, so I that's understandable.
No, Luke is the biggest ball fan. He's loving Sparrow Racing 2.
Everyone was talking so bad about Matter Spark, it wasn't that bad. Like, I had a decent time with it.
It wasn't that bad.
I
was like, don't get too carried away now.
I don't know. I was like playing Mythic Kepler earlier, and you know, okay, are there moments of satisfaction? Yes, but it, dude, we just like to kill a lot of shit. You know what I mean? I want to slay, man, and This turning into a bullshit. It fucks with that, you know what I mean? It's messing with the slate thing. You know, it's crazy that I've had the best time this week playing Onslaught, Midtown Onslaught, mm-hmm. like basic OG Onslaught has been a good time.
You love
time.
That shit though.
They did such a good job with it. And
yeah.
I like horde modes. I think Destiny needs more horde modes. You know, turning into a ball and all that stuff. I guess that's cool. But imagine if the next destination was literally a destination that was like being completely overtaken, kind of like Helldivers, and you had to fight a war every time you dropped down. That shit would be fire.
More ad density. I've been saying it.
Yeah, more ad density.
That's,
yeah.
that's where the builds sponge. Shine the most.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Like everyone loves like builds popping off and like being super powerful. I feel like it's a very Warframe-esque situation where it's like, hey, we really like it when we can go super fast and bullet jump and have insane movement. It's like, yeah, Destiny, like we would all hate it if we went back in time in Destiny 2 and all of our builds had the old like regen and like it was more like the weapons. Like what we have now is fun. We need more ads, but less sponginess and like to just give room for just these more powerful builds to like be challenged.
This is what I was talking about before Edge of Fate came out or after it came out. I was like, you give us missions with a bunch of ads in it, but you give us the option to limit us on how much time we have to finish the mission, bro. It would make people want to make insane builds for clearing ads and get through the mission in 5 minutes and get the best rewards. Like if you can tie yourself down for a time limit, you have to finish in this amount of time. Ads aren't as spongy as they are in Mythic. They're not going to be pushovers, but with much more ads, I feel like you'll see a lot more diverse builds and like, okay, what's the fastest way to clear it? Grapple Melee won't be as potent as Cross's Onslaught build that he's been using. That would be insane in that. But like tying it to time limits on missions where like, all right, if I do 5 minutes and I finish this mission in 5 minutes, I get the max amount of rewards. 7.5 minutes, I get the second tier rewards. And we have a tier system for that perfectly. You finish mission 5 minutes, tier 5. Boom, done. Like, we already have a time limit on the bottom right when finishing our missions to get the threshold score. Why not go more into that and tie certain rewards to that and just make it so the enemies aren't super dense and super annoying to fight? You know, that's what they can do. Like, that's what I was saying. And it's boring going into Mythic Kepler right now and just a red bar taking a million bullets kill for an orange bar, you know?
I'm trying, man. I'm trying to see the bright side. I'm going to go back into it some more this weekend because we're going to do a build battle for Mythic Kepler, which should be interesting. But that's a tough delta, man. Minus 50 is tough.
It's tough. Yeah. It's because they did that change where majors and like yellow bars take so much more damage when you're under leveled than they did like last season.
Yeah.
Like they did something with that. I don't know what it was, but man, it's just boring to sit there because there's always that one ad left, and you're just there, bing, 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 bing. Like
it's severe from minus 40 to minus 50. It's such a big jump.
Huge jump. Yeah.
All right. Well, guys, do we have any other news that we want to cover before we wrap things up? I know we're closing up on the hour right now.
No, I think we're good for the week.
Yeah, I feel like we covered a lot of ground.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. Clearly, we need a weekly RuneScape segment because I don't know how RuneScape got brought up.
Always.
The first episode, Cross. First one. You didn't even make it through one without bringing up RuneScape.
I tell you what, and here's the thing. I'm such a casual. I don't even play it like I did back in the day. But it really is it's a great game. At some point, we all of us here, we need to create like a hardcore Iron Man squad. And play RuneScape. It would be an interesting. Oh my god, dude! I'm getting pumped right now thinking about it.
Oh my god,
I'm telling you, man. That shit would be great. And we walk away with a great learning experience as well. Yeah. Group Iron Man Squad, yeah.
I've never played RuneScape.
It's good, Les. It's really the kind of game that it is incredibly grindy. But again, like you said earlier, everything you do is working you toward that. That goal, like you keep everything that you earn, and so and everything. There's like they also do a really good job of like everything has like stepping stones to the next set of gear, and so it's good, man. Maybe one day we might actually start in an Iron Man squad, and dude, that would be content. Who knows? We might bring Liam in there. Actually, I don't know if I ever want Liam to. I was asked the other day if I would ever want my children to play RuneScape, but. It's like you learn great lessons from it, but it's a game, man, that makes you distrust humanity when there's no other game I've ever played that has brought me to the lowest of lows in all of gaming. Not even Destiny. But it's also an experience I think everyone needs to experience once. All right, I've talked enough about RuneScape. Anything else we need to cover?
You talk about RuneScape like I talk about New Orleans.
Oh, yeah.
No, I think we're good.
The Saints? Are we talking about just New Orleans in general?
Just New Orleans in general.
No, okay. There ain't nothing to talk about the Saints team. Right
last thing before up. We go. Last thing before we go.
Be careful.
Les, did you see the Battlefield gamer who people were saying cheated?
Yes.
Give it to me, Les.
It's all on my timeline.
Yeah, it's everywhere.
I've seen people...
Rapid fire take?
Dude, I've seen people pull flicks like that in Valorant on a daily basis. And they are not cheating. It's not... If people... Like, if... I say this. I don't know if he's cheating. I just saw the clip. I'm like, that's not abnormal for someone who plays a game every day. You know, there are some really skilled FPS gamers out there, man. And you just watch them. Like, if you anyone that thinks they're cheating, they need to just watch Tens in the Aim Labs place. The shit he does, I'm like, how? He is flicking his mouse and being so precise. It's insane. Like there are people who are just really good at games, and I don't think that was a cheater. You can tell if someone's cheating in almost any game because of movement. How is the person's movement? That's how I can tell when someone is cheating in Destiny. They're bot walking around, but they're hitting every freaking crit, hitting all their shots in the air. It's kind
of
sus.
I think one of the clips was the clip where she flicked into the, I don't know, it looked like it was like flicked into the mountain. You know what I mean? You know, it's like that's kind of like the dead giveaway. Like you. Now I'm not saying that was happening because we have a radar, and so instinctually she could have just flicked in that direction of what was on the radar. You know what I mean? But that was like what people were sharing was that particular clip where it looked like it was aiming through the side of the mountain.
I only saw one where like she jumped off the building and like just spray transferred perfectly. That's the clip that I saw. I don't know if it's a guy or girl, but it's like they were shooting it one way, and then like once they finished killing the guy, it went to the other person. But I've seen that happen, and people weren't cheating. I didn't see the one with the clip of the mountain shooting behind the wall. I didn't see that one.
Well, I just want to say, like, important context here. I mean, I've looked into this a bunch. Obviously, Riley was banned and then unbanned. And the Battlefield 6 devs on Twitter, they made it clear, like, we've reviewed this case. It's getting unbanned because they were banned due to reports of cheating.
Wow.
You know, I don't know if they have some bot that tends to just be overly, like, heavy on the ban. And they reversed the ban. And then a lot of some of the top Battlefield players were on Twitter this week saying, yeah, look, like, apologies for jumping onto this train because you're not cheating. I think it's just a case of skill, but it was suspicious for sure. I just think those games are a whole different beast. We don't see that in Destiny.
Well, from what I saw, as far as like her Katie and everything for the beta, it definitely didn't scream cheater to me. I think she was rocking. Not saying like a 2 KD isn't good, but you know, cheaters be walking around.
Battlefield,
you
know, though?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Battlefield, you're constantly dying, I feel
you
like.
You are constantly dying, but I mean, like, 2, I wouldn't say 2 is cheating territory at all, even for Battlefield. But it was funny, though, because the tweets, there was one guy who tweeted, he used to be a cheat developer, and I could tell you right now, she's cheating. And then someone retweeted his tweet and was like, I used to make cheats too, and I could tell you right now, she's not cheating. This has been a very polarizing topic now for the past week.
Oh,
yeah.
I've seen a lot of it. Mm-hmm. I've seen both.
I keep seeing the clips and stuff, but like, I've only seen that one clip. And I just watched the video. I'm like, oh, moving. Okay. Like, it doesn't look anything crazy, but I didn't see the one where the person shot through a wall. I didn't see that one.
Yeah.
Because I've seen, there are some top streamers. Like, I think one that top of my head that I've seen do that a ton was Symphony. I don't know if you guys know who that is, but he's like a Call of Duty streamer. He's done it a lot of times where he'll like spray transfer if someone's behind a wall and then like just kill him through the wall. But it's just game knowledge, map like awareness, and person was never cheating. So,
yeah. Yeah.
I don't know.
So,
I trust
Battlefield's no Battlefield's anti-cheat caught hundreds of thousands of people over the weekend, which does say that cheating's rampant. Very, very common. But also, I mean, it seems like they're doing case-by-case reviews. And, you know, I think the developer has no interest in keeping someone like Riley around if they're actually cheating in the game. That's a bad look for the developer. So if the developers came out and said case review, there's no cheating, I think that's what you have to trust.
If you beat me, you're cheating. That's my rule. That's my rule. You beat
Sorry,
me.
Les.
You're Honestly, cheating.
I've
it's a beautiful
I've
rule.
I've kind of taken on that philosophy, man, in comp.
Wow, you ego. Beat,
like when I'm with Vince, bro, and like there's this person just 1v2ing me and him at the same time, like, I feel like cross right now. That person's cheating.
Like, that's crazy.
I'm getting old, man. I'm getting worse at the game. All I got is to call people cheaters. Come on.
That's what we do. That's what we do.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Well, I appreciate everybody coming together this Friday. Are we going to be doing this every Friday, or are we doing it?
I'm down.
Fridays. Yeah. Fridays. I'm actually pretty chill for me. So. And that way we can let the trial marinate.
About trials, Cross. How was trials?
Dude, I didn't hardly kill anyone, dude. I played with Pure and Alex today. And oh my god, dude. I mean, everybody just died instantly. So nutty gamers, man. But
it's working for things. Couldn't be Cross.
But it's Javelin, so you know, it's gonna bring out all the PvPers for sure.
Yeah. Hoping Solstice Engrams tomorrow though. On a Saturday.
Yeah, that would be nice. That would be nice. That's a huge reason why I didn't play today is after my one run, because there's just no Solstice Ingram. So,
We made the video about the trials machine gun, but I still need to get rolls of the SMG and the grenade launcher. So I'm like tied between both of these. Like, what do I want to do? So.
All right, guys. Well, GG's. Thank y'all so much to everyone at the stream. Thank you so much for tuning in to our first episode of Front to Back. We will see you all again next Friday.
Bye, guys. I mean, y'all. Ew. Bye, y'all.
Later.
Slap that like button like your mama told you right.